recognize the seriousness of gathering together in worship, and we recognize, Lord, all around us, there is a need to hear your word regarding this matter of fatherhood and your call to men to rise up, be leaders spiritually, intellectually. And so, Lord, whether they're fathers, whether they're grandfathers here today, I'm asking that your word would move and would work and speak. I pray for the ladies here, Lord, who are longing for their husbands to be this kind of man, Lord, that their sons would be these kind of men, that their sons-in-laws would be these types of men, that their grandchildren would be these types of men. Oh, Lord, would you use this message not just as a short reminder of some ways that the Bible encourages men, but, Lord, it really would impact families. And the impact of families would have an impact on communities, and the impact of the community would have an impact on our culture and our nation. Lord, spread the knowledge of Christ and his commands to us as men, even this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I recognize this, with all of these types of messages, there's a very small group of individuals this may relate to, right? I mean, some of you are not fathers, you're mothers, and some of you maybe are widows and you don't have husbands, or some of you are single moms, or, you know, there's all types of things. And so what I'm asking, what I'm hoping is that as we communicate these words, as we prayed, if you are a mom and your son is a father, maybe you talk to him about it, or pray for your husband to become this kind of leader, right? For those of you who are single moms and are working really hard to raise your family, we love you and we're glad you're here, and we recognize that you were carrying two loads, and so we pray that God will bless you as well. But men, I want to talk to you, dads, granddads, future dads, right, about this serious issue. Fatherhood is significant. Now, recognize this. In Scripture, the Bible tells us God created us male and female. His design, beautifully created, and we are the same in essence, both having supreme significant value, both worthy of, but both are able to have salvation, right? And so I want you to understand that while there's this uniqueness, both being made in the image of God, he has created this distinction of responsibilities and his desire for the family, all right? So let me share with you just some statistics that show the problem, really, that's facing America. Some will say, well, it's gun violence, or some will say it's election issues, right? But more and more people are starting to notice that the underlying issue of so many of our social ills can be attributed to this fact, and that is we live in a culture and a time and day where there are many single families. Many men are not involved in the lives of their children. You can see red is white children, blue is the African-American or black children, green is Hispanic. So in 1960, you can see a lower amount, and as we move towards 2010, you can see this increase in the number of children that are being raised by their moms alone. Sometimes it's because the dad is in jail. Sometimes it's because of divorce. Sometimes it's because of the culture in which we live in, which has premarital sex, has no commitment level, and so there's a hookup, there's a pregnancy, and then the man is never again around. And moms, women are left to raise their children on their own. And it has a significant impact on our culture. Watch this very short video, just some statistics regarding the matter of single mom families.
Of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71% of all pregnant teenagers, 85% of all children with behavior disorders, 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth in prison come from fatherless homes. Considering that the vast majority of prisoners come from fatherless homes, and my own father's history. I think prison is the true place to go to uncover the real, gritty truth about what's wrong with the family.
It's pretty startling if you think about it. When they start to look at real statistics, one of the primary issues that seems to be consistent in many of our social ills is the fact that men have abdicated their responsibilities as fathers. And some of you will say, well, look, well, I haven't, I'm here. True. But what I want to challenge you with as men is this fact. You may be physically present, but you can still be mentally distant. You can be emotionally distant from your children. And I want to challenge all of you men, fathers, grandfathers, to get engaged. To engage your sons and daughters, to engage your grandsons and granddaughters, and to live up to the calling that God has placed on your life as leaders of your home. So with that in mind, let me share with you a couple of responsibilities the scriptures remind us regarding fatherhood. Okay? So you might want to write some of these down if you're going to share them with your sons or your grandsons, or even if you want to go back as a father and review them. The first is, as a father, you are to provide financial resources for your family. Now, I'm not advocating or saying that women shouldn't work and men should do all that, that women shouldn't have jobs in the community. That's not what we're saying. But what you see in Scripture is that fathers, you're responsible for your family. You're responsible for your family's financial well-being. Remember, Jesus says, if fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more your heavenly Father giving good gifts to those who are His? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Man, you're responsible to make sure that your family's financial well-being is moving in a forward and positive direction. You say, okay, what are you talking about? Well, let me share with you a passage in Proverbs that maybe you don't think about. But it's this, Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You ever stop to think what that means? Because what we want to do is say, oh yeah, spiritual. I'm going to leave a spiritual legacy to my children. That's vital and that's important. But in the that could be an application. But the meaning of that text, if you read the next part of it, says this. The sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. So a good man leaves an inheritance not just to his children, but his children's children. The implication there is this, that you need to be, as a father, you need to be a good steward of the resources that God has given you and is providing you with as you lead your family. It is your responsibility to make sure your family is financially settled, financially set. I recognize some of you have struggles and issues financially, but what we're meaning is you need to make sure that you are using the resources in a God-honoring way. You need to be teaching your children about tithing, about giving, about stewardship. You need to be teaching your children about not getting in debt, not buying things that are material that cause you to be indebted, right? That's one of the most significant financial issues in America. It hinders people like Gideon's ministries, and it hinders missionaries from going out. It hinders churches, is that so many Christians in America have gotten in so much debt. They're financially upside down in so many ways that they're not able to really store up for themselves treasures in heaven. Which is why we offer classes like Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace and other things, because we want you to be set free. To be in debt, you're a slave to the lender. And dads, you don't want to put your children in that. You want to teach them about wisdom, about the way in which you should spend money. You want them not to be saddled down with debt that rides them for years to come. So talking with them about budgets, about the dignity of hard work, it's important to be teaching your children. But it's not just financially that you're responsible. You're also to protect and to defend them. Think about this with me for a minute. In the Bible, we see a lot of stories about shepherd and sheep. And I want to tell you, dads, you're shepherds of your family. Now, we think about sheep, and we think it's these guys, they're lazy, and they're out there in the wilderness, and they're just watching their sheep eat grass and do nothing. But remember, What did David give as his qualification for being able to take on Goliath? Yeah, he was a shepherd, all right, but what had he done? He had fought lions and bears. I want you to know, dads, there are lions and bears that are seeking to destroy your family. And as the shepherd of your family, you need to rise up and protect them. You can't sit by idly and just expect that, well, my family's going to be safe. You need to be fighting for them. We have an enemy, not that we said it about VBS, but we have an enemy that seeks to destroy your family. And it comes in all different ways. Dads, you need to know what your sons, what your family is watching and looking at. If your kids have computers in their rooms, you are very naive. But I'll push it even further. If your kids have phones, you are putting them in dangerous situations. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, Dad, but how many of you look at your kids' phones? How many of you know what your kids are texting? How many of you know what your kids are talking about? You can't play dumb on this. We live in a culture where our kids are making significant mistakes in this area. And as dads, we're oblivious to it. Even in this church, we have had multiple occurrences where students in our congregation have either taken and sent or have received inappropriate photos, genital photos, nude photos. Here, some of your kids. Serious issues. They know way more than you think they know, and they do way more than you think they do. And you need to be guarding them as best as you can. You need to be talking to them about the seriousness of these things. And maybe it's because you're involved in some of that, dads. You need to stop. Job made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look lustfully at a woman, right? Maybe that's the commitment you need to make, because maybe you say, well, I can't really talk to my kids because down and I know I'm doing that as well sort of thing, right? Well, put that off. Turn to Christ. Quit choosing those things. And also talk to your children about Snapchat and all the other things that they're doing online. But it's not just online that you need to fight against. It's what we watch. What kind of movies are you letting them watch? What are the things that are coming into your house through your TVs? The language, the scenes. It impacts us as individuals, and it impacts your children. But maybe it's not just things that we naturally think are wrong. You know what else you have to fight against? You have to fight against time robbers. We live in a day and age where sports or activities, they want to suck the life out of families. Camp this and traveling team that and tournaments on weekends, and before you know it, your entire life is wrapped up in games and practices. There's no more sitting down and having dinners as families, and before you know it, I mean, look, we all want our kids to be the next Tiger Woods athletically or LeBron James athletically or whatever, because, you know, I'm not their morals in their lives, but that's what we think, right? I mean, so many families, they're investing so much in that at the expense of their Christian walk. Look, we struggle with it. We have four boys. We get baseball practice. I understand where we're at. We got to fight for that. Butch, some of you remember Butch. Butch and I coached a T-ball team. One of my first years here. And we had a rainout game. And the makeup game was Sunday at 11 o'clock. At Okeehele Baseball. I mean, I'm not talking New York City or San Francisco. Here. 11 o'clock on Sunday is a makeup time. We just forfeited the game because we weren't going to put that ahead of our responsibilities. We felt like, look, I understand sometimes you're gone, but those things can rob you. You need to defend against that. You need to guard against any of those things that will rob your family of growing in Christ. Maybe it's your work. There was a destroyer. And I want you dads to take seriously this call that you are the front lines. And you need to stand firm, protecting your family the best you can. That doesn't mean that they're not going to make bad decisions. It doesn't mean that they're going to get involved in stuff. But guard them as much as you can, dads. It's your responsibility. Third, we're called to discipline our families. I don't really like that word, discipline, but dads, it's your responsibility to shepherd them, to guard their hearts, to draw them to Christ. Discipline is a sign of love. I'm not talking about beating the kid, but you know what I mean? Scripture is clear of examples that you discipline, you correct, you instruct the ones you love. Y'all, we live in a day and age where the kid is king. And many parents aren't parents, they're friends and buddies. And I mean, I just saw like last week or two about some girl, I don't even know where she was, some 28-year-old girl that was found drunk out in front of her house and had like a drug and alcohol party with her teenage sons and some of their friends. Those of you who are teachers, you know this well. Kids are always right. You're the problem. How foolish of it that we're raising an entire generation that is so entitled and has never been corrected, never been instructed. We are reaping the fruit of that life. You wonder how we get some of the people that are being voted on, both parties, is because we've raised up a generation that is so entitled and never been told they're wrong. It starts with us, dads. We've got to discipline them, whether it's time out, whether it's spanking, whether it's taking things away from them, however it is that you maneuver through the biblical admonition to bring discipline upon your family. Things like this, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. If you don't discipline your child, in essence, what you're saying is, I don't love you. I don't love you enough to take the time to correct you, to shepherd you. And that's what he picks up in Hebrews, right? Discipline is hard. It's hard on the kid. It's hard on the parent. Nobody really wants to discipline their kid. Maybe. I mean, I don't. But they need it. Because they'll push until you put it down. And if you don't correct it, then your child's going to be the one who's smarting off and is rude to the teacher. Your child's going to be the one who is disrespectful and entitled to everything. You're the one who's going to think that the world owes him everything because you didn't correct their heart. It's a responsibility, a loving responsibility to discipline them, to correct them, to teach them, to instruct them. But dads, it's your responsibility. It's not the mom's responsibility. Remember, it used to be, wait till your father gets home. Some of you, that's the house you grew up in. Wait till your father gets home, and you knew what that meant. Nowadays, so many dads, we have just abdicated our responsibility in fatherhood. We just expect our wives, the moms, to deal with everything because we're too busy looking at Facebook or whatever else we're looking at. It's not just kids that waste time on the internet. That's what I'm talking about, being present in the moment with your kid or with your grandkid. You only got them for a short period of time, then they're gone. And some of you that are single moms, you know it's hard. You're carrying both hats. Men, if you're in a marriage, grandfathers, don't wait for the mom, the grandma to rebuke the child. You take responsibility. You walk over there and you correct and you instruct and you say, no, this is what the word says and this is why you're being disciplined, because God loves you and because I love you and I want you to know what is right. Don't give that to the wife to do. You take responsibility. You discipline lovingly, graciously, consistently. Four, set the example with your family. Your kids are listening and watching what you do, Dad. And sometimes it comes back to bite you in the butt. This morning, I hope some of you had a good wake up. Maybe somebody called you, or if you're younger, maybe they fixed you breakfast for your dad or something like that. Let me tell you how my morning started. 5:15, I get awoken with an ice bag on my face. Amen, right? Where's the disciplinarian? All right. But see, what happened? One of my boys thought it would be a fun idea to put an ice bag on my face. Because yesterday, they were at the pool for a while, and they all got tanned, or some of them got burned. And I told one of them, just jokingly, before I went to bed, I said, "You better watch out. I'm going to come put an ice pack on your back while you sleep." Serves me right. He preemptively struck, okay? He was following my example that he thought I was going to do. And that's a funny example. At least it was maybe for you, not for me, but but it's a serious example. Dads, I know we use this passage a lot of times with students, and you're at school, and here's how to be a good example at school. But, Dad, I want to challenge you. I want to just make a couple of slight amendments to it. But Paul's talking to young Timothy, and he says these words: "Let no one despise you for your youth." And I think by an application we can say, don't let anybody despise you by what you do as a dad. "But set the believers or your family an example in your speech." Dads, let me just ask you, how do you talk? Using language that's profane, unacceptable, inappropriate. How do you talk about others? How do you talk about your wife? How do you talk about your mother-in-law or your family? How do you talk about your coworkers? How do you talk about your boss, right? Your kids are following that. They're learning from you. Guard and set the example in your speech. It says in your conduct and how you live and how you love your wife and how you're faithful in the little things. Because if you fudge or you don't do the right things in those moments, those kids are going to remember that. And they're going to look back and they say, "Well, Dad, you didn't do that." Hey, do not tell your kids don't text and drive if you text and drive. You say, "Well, I don't have kids that drive." Well, they're going to remember that you used to check your phone when you drove. Right? They're going to follow your example. Quit. In your love, in the way that you love your wife, in the way that you love others, set the example in your faith, in the way that you love Jesus, in the way that you're living it out, in the way that you do ministry. Set the example in your purity, right? Dads, all around you, your kids are watching you all the time. And let me challenge you, be their role model. Be their role model. How awesome is it when they say, "My hero is my dad"? And it's not just for like some little assignment at school, but it's what they really mean. I want to be like my dad. Because my dad is a man of integrity, or my dad speaks the truth, or my dad loves my mom, or my dad's always there for me, right? There's no greater Father's Day gift, really, than those sorts of things. And there's no greater gift you can give to your kids than investing in them a fatherly model, because that is how they're going to live when they have kids. And last, maybe most importantly, be the spiritual leader of your family. Be the spiritual leader of your family. Remember in Deuteronomy it says, you know, talk about the scriptures, you know, write them on your heart, write them on your doorpost, and talk to your kids about these things when you sit down and when you rise up and when you go, right? He's talking to dads to their families. He's not talking about pastors to their churches. I'm talking to you. Whether you recognize it or not, men, God is holding you accountable for the spiritual leadership of your family. See, the evil one is always looking to distort God's created order. God makes us male and female. He tries to make us male and male or female and female. God says husbands and wives and husbands' responsibility. In the garden, who did the evil one come to? Eve. After the fall, who did God come to? Adam. Why? Because Adam was responsible. I know that I'm going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account of the way that I've shepherded and led you as a congregation, but I want you to know, fathers, you're going to give an account of the way you shepherd and led your families. It's not enough for them to come over here and hear Sunday school for an hour. You need to be investing the gospel in them. Some of you say, "Well, I don't really know. I'm not really that spiritual." Okay, well, grow up in your faith. We have lots of things you can be a part of. We want you to mature. That's our desire. Every believer mature in Christ. So it can start like this. What about today at lunch? You just say, hey, what'd y'all talk about at Sunday school? Oh, I remember that story. That's a great story. What would you do if you were in that situation? I mean, it's just basic conversation with them, but you're talking the Bible with them. And then maybe you expand and you start praying with them. Maybe you pray for them. I'm not going to ask you to show your hands, but if your kids, Dad, have never heard you audibly pray for them, give them that gift. Give them that gift. You're like, well, I don't know how to pray. It doesn't matter. They don't either. But to see you praying for them, powerful. Worship with them. Some of you ask, and I know not all of you go to the first service, but some of you say, well, why don't y'all do stuff in the first service for kids? We are very intentional in the first service about what we're doing. It is my heart and desire that families worship together. I want daughters and sons to see their dads opening the Bible. I want daughters and sons to see and hear their dad singing the gospel. I want them to see their dads taking communion. Because I'm not at your house all the time. Don's not at your house. Katie and Kevin's not at your house. Other deacons and other leaders here in this church aren't. But you are there. You are their spiritual leader. I want them to see and model your faith in Christ. I want them to know that church is significant for you, that Christ is real for you. And they don't see that when you are in here and they're over there and you're just kind of scattered families. If you guys think I'm just being too harsh, I want you to know there's study after study after study that give insight to this truth. The religious practice of the father is the most significant indicator about future attendance of an individual in church. Not to diminish moms in any way, I want you to know that. I know, again, some of you are single moms, some of you have been pulling hard, but you know, some of you know, because you've seen it. You've come to church your whole life by yourself, and you've seen the results of this in your own kids' lives. Listen, if the father is non-practicing, doesn't go to church, doesn't have, you know, whatever, he may even say he's a Christian, but if he doesn't go to church, but the mother does regularly, only 2% of their kids will become regular worshipers. 37% will attend irregularly, off and on. Over 60% of their children won't go to church at all. Dad, you don't think you have a serious responsibility? Well, maybe you're saying, well, that's just because it's just one parent. Well, they looked at it the other way as well. If the mom didn't go, but the dad did, in fact, kids went more. It's weird. It's weird. It says the percentage of children becoming regular attenders goes up from 33 to 38%, even if the mother doesn't go. It says, in short, if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife is, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If the father does go regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between two-thirds and three-quarters of their children will become regular churchgoers. Dad, I want you to understand this. When you stay home to watch the dolphins, or you go out on the beach to go fishing, or you do whatever else you do, you're lazy or you're tired or you got other things going on, it impacts your family. And it impacts the next generation of churchgoers. It does. And that's just once, over and over and over again, you see this research out there. So men, rise up. Be spiritual leaders of your families. And some of you say, well, I've missed that opportunity. Well, talk to your sons. Maybe they're not in church. Maybe that's your goal. Hey, I blew it with you. But I know it is so important for you to have life in Christ. And I want to ask forgiveness, and would you begin thinking about what this looks like in your life? Have those conversations with them, whatever needs to happen. Moms, be talking to your sons about, yeah, I know maybe you don't have a father, maybe your father's not been active, but, oh, you be the man who raises his family in a godly home. I mean, talk to them about those sorts of things, right? This is a serious reality. We can get all our focus Trump or Hillary, we can put all our focus on guns and everything else that's in the news, but we don't really want to look at the real issue. And the real issue for us is, are we truly being the godly men whom God has called us to be? Because that will change culture. Laws don't change culture. Almost all the guns, and I'm not, this is not trying to be political, but all the gun violence happens in no-gun zones. That doesn't matter. Guns or no guns. What matters is, are you going to be a Christ follower, Dad? And are you going to invest in your sons and daughters? And are you not going to let them marry punks? Tell them no. Because you want your daughter to have a good life and a good marriage, and you want their grandchildren to have a father who loves Jesus, right? That's part of shepherding or protecting them as best you can. When we start doing that and taking our responsibility serious as dads and granddads, then we'll see culture change. Then we'll see America change, really. But until we get serious about these sorts of things, we're going to continue to propagate and promote the same sorts of things. It only takes one generation for us to quit telling the gospel, for the gospel to go away. You saw it with Joshua. After Joshua, a whole generation grows up who neither knew the Lord or what the Lord had done for Israel. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. You can call it Joshua. You can call it America. But there seems to be a lot of similarities. Dads, rise up. Rise up. Be the spiritual leaders of your home and pray and watch as God transitions the community and this great land. Let's pray. Father, as dads, we come before you, and we're thankful that you're our dad, and you've set us an example of love and compassion and of discipline and of what you're calling us to, Lord. You're such a gracious and godly, just so powerful in our lives, Lord. But Lord, if we're honest, there's so many times we've taken the call of fatherhood lightly. We've not really put effort or intentionality in, kind of lazy, and oh, Lord, we're reaping fruit of our labor. So Lord, would you stir up in us and the men in this room today, would you stir up a commitment to be God-fearers? Would you stir us up to be Bible lovers? Would you stir us up to be Christ worshipers? And Lord, would those things then trickle down into how we lead and discipline and protect and provide for our families? And oh Lord, would even today, would you begin changing our families? Father, I come alongside of the moms, the single moms, the moms and the wives whose husbands stay at home. I pray, Lord, that you would give them strength. You would help them to become leaders in their family if there is no father. We pray for uncles and granddads and others to step in as well. Father, for families where the husband stays at home and the mom goes, would you, oh Lord, would you change his heart today? Would you begin changing his heart? Would you let the testimony and the witness of the wife, of the mother, would it win over her unbelieving husband? And Lord, would you change families even here? Lord, we love you and we're thankful for the gospel. And we pray, Lord, we as dads would be good stewards, not only in disseminating the gospel, but of also living it before our families. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.